and as she hit the floor, Danny's scream echoed in her muddled brain. She squeezed her eyes shut, trying to ignore the pounding in her head. Get up, get up, get up! She struggled to her feet, blinking her eyes to try to clear the stars that were blinding her.
What the hell's going on?
Reed, thank God. Harper grabbed his arm. Come on, he's got her! Reed should have been the one driving. She knew that as she sped out of the parking lot. It was a nondescript, smallish black car that she'd seen Danny being thrown into. Danny had been limp, dangling in his arms like one of his lifeless dolls. Had he knocked her out? Had he smashed her face, too? Had he drugged her? Jesus Christ, slow down, Harper! Reed held onto the dash with one hand. The other was on the door as he braced himself against the wild turn she made. The neighboring car honked several times at her as she cut in front of them. It was still relatively early in the evening, 8:30 maybe, and there was enough traffic for him to get lost in. That was probably his plan all along. She pounded her fist against the steering wheel angrily. How could she have been so lax? Why had she opened the door without knowing for sure who it was? Slow down! He yelled again. He's only 3 cars ahead of us. We got him! If he gets to the freeway, he'll disappear in traffic. We'll lose him. Reed was thrown against the door as she changed lanes, cutting off 2 cars in the process. God damn it, Harper, you're going to kill us both! I am not going to lose him, she said tersely. How the hell did he get inside the room? Where was Sorrel? He kicked the door in, and I don't know where the hell Sorrel was. She slammed the steering wheel again with her fist. That son of a bitch! I swear, when I catch him, I'm going to put a bullet in his head! Chapter 35 Danny blinked slowly, struggling to focus, her mind still cloudy, foggy. There was a sweet taste in her mouth, and she tried several times to swallow it away. What had he used? Chloroform? Did people really do that? She was tossed back against the seat as he swerved in traffic. A loud horn honked beside them. She was stretched out on the back seat, her hands unbound. What should she do? What could she do? Was Harper looking for her? The last thing she remembered, before the clown had grabbed her, was Harper falling to the floor. Was she still lying there? Was she hurt? Had Reed heard the commotion and found her? She closed her eyes and braced herself as he slammed on his brakes, only to speed up again. He was driving fast. Was Harper following him? God, what should she do? Her hands were free. She could jump up, grab the wheel. Yes, and maybe flip the car, killing them in the process. She could open the back door and jump out, and probably kill herself in the process. She finally dared to open her eyes. She looked up, finding him watching her in the rearview mirror. She gasped as he smiled. The evil grin of a creepy clown. A real live creepy clown. Gotcha, he said, snapping his jaws together as if taking a bite out of her. She shrunk back from the sound of his voice, then nearly rolled to the floor as he took a sharp turn. Gotcha. Yes. He definitely had her now. Harper would never find her. He would disappear with her. He would kill her. He would probably do all sorts of things to her first. Then he would kill her. She eyed the door. It was obviously locked, but she thought she could pull up on the manual lock and open the door at the same time. And then what? Fall into traffic? Yeah, great idea, Danny. He changed lanes yet again as horns blared around them. Had he run a red light? She felt the car slowing, albeit slightly. Was there a curve coming up? Dare she try it? She looked in the mirror again, but he was focused solely on the road. Stupid idea, she thought as she sat up and pulled the lock free before opening the door. It swung out wide as he turned the corner, and she fell out, instinctively covering her head as she landed hard on the pavement. She rolled more times than she could count, and she came to a final, abrupt stop against a concrete barrier. The roar of traffic, the squealing of tires, the blasting of horns all faded as she curled into a ball, praying she wouldn't get hit. Harper saw a flash of something as it was thrown from a car. It rolled up against the concrete barrier that separated the road from a construction site. She swerved to miss it, then slammed on her brakes. Horns blared around them, and she braced herself, the car behind them missing her by mere inches. "Are you out of your mind? He's getting away!" Harper had a moment of panic. Should she follow the car? Or... She started going again, thinking she would lose him if she hesitated any longer. But something... Something wasn't right. "Come on, Harper!" "Hang on." She spun the car around, scraping the barrier with her fender. They were now facing oncoming traffic, and the sound of horns honking seemed to surround them. Her headlights landed on the object, up against the concrete, and she spotted a mass of blonde hair. "Oh my God, how did you see her?" Harper didn't answer him. She got out, running toward her. She knelt down beside her, trying to prepare herself for what she might find. She touched Danny's shoulder, rolling her over. She gasped as Danny's eyes met hers.
"Harper,"
Danny murmured before sobs took her breath away. "It's okay. I got you now." She pulled Danny into her arms, and she felt Danny cling to her. Heard her sobs as Danny buried her face against her chest. "I got you now." She stood, taking Danny up with her. She wrapped Danny tight against her and walked over to the car. "Is she okay?" "I think so. You drive." She opened the back door and put Danny in, then got in beside her. Danny immediately clutched her arm. The overhead light was bright enough for her to see the blood on Danny's forehead. She touched it lightly, seeing the scrape of skin. Her cheek was also bruised. Then Reed closed the door, plunging them into darkness. She winced when Danny touched the bruise on her own cheek.
"Are you okay?"
Harper nodded. "Just blacked out for a second there," she said quietly. "Are you?"
"I think so."
Harper took Danny's hand and squeezed it tightly. "I'm so sorry. I promised to protect you, and I failed." She felt tears threatening, and she closed her eyes, trying to ward them off. "I thought I'd failed again. I was so afraid it would be like..." She couldn't go on, as her tears closed up her throat. She'd failed Jan. Jan was dead. She'd failed Danny. If Danny hadn't fallen from the car, what would have happened? What if she couldn't have stopped the car? What if he'd gotten away with her? Harper would never have found her. And she would have failed Danny, too. Danny would have most likely met the same fate as Jan. Her heart broke all over again as Danny pulled her into her arms, offering her comfort. Harper should be the strong one. Harper should be comforting Danny, not the other way around. But here they sat, in the darkness of the back seat, holding each other, mixing their tears, soothing their fears. How many minutes they clung to each other, she didn't know. When she felt in control again, she gently pulled away, still keeping a hold of Danny's hand. She looked up, finding Reed watching them in the mirror, eyebrows raised in a question. She had no answer for him.
"Take us back to the motel," she said, her voice still thick with emotion. "I want to get our things."
"We need to call Mize. He'll want us to go in."
Harper had no intention of going in. Not now. "Motel first." Reed eyed her in the mirror for a second, then nodded. She felt Danny lean against her shoulder, eyes closed. Harper moved closer to her.
"You okay?"
she whispered. Danny nodded but said nothing. Harper noted that their fingers were still linked, and she leaned back against the seat, letting her own eyes slip closed. Chapter 36. Emergency lights flashed all around the motel, and Reed slowed as they approached.
"What the hell? Did Hernandez call in the troops?"
They were stopped at the entrance, and Reed showed his badge to the officer.
"Detective Springer and Jeremiah," he said. "What's going on?"
"Officer down. Sorrel."
Harper leaned forward. "Down?"
Dead? Yes, ma'am. Stabbed in the throat.
Oh, my God, Danny whispered.
Reed maneuvered the car between an ambulance and a squad car. Hernandez was standing off to the side, talking to two women. Detectives from Homicide, no doubt. He stopped in front of their rooms, and Harper turned to Danny. Stay here. I'll get our things.
What are we going to do?
I'm not sure yet. When Reed would have gone over to talk to Hernandez, Harper stopped him. I'm going to get our things. Then we're out of here.
Out?
He shook his head. Harper, no. We go in. We report what happened. We let Mize decide the next course of action. No offense, Reed, but every damn plan that Mize has come up with so far has ended badly. She pointed toward the office. And now he's killed a cop. So no, I'm not going to hang around for Mize's next brilliant plan.
Harper,
no. This ends. He wants Danny. He's proven, by taking out Sorrel, that he'll go to any lengths to get her.
You don't even know how he's finding her.
Doesn't matter anymore. He finds her, and the next time, it ends. Reed leaned closer.
What are you going to do? Kill the guy?
She met his gaze. Yes. Reed grabbed her arm.
Harper, you can't go out without backup.
Backup has done no good whatsoever.
Let me go with you.
No. He lowered his voice.
What the hell is going on with you?
Tired of this damn game we're playing. He motioned with his head toward the car.
And her?
What do you mean?
Hell, Harper, you know what I mean.
Just doing my job.
What I saw in the car, that wasn't your job.
He leaned closer again.
Hell, Harper, you were crying for God's sake.
Don't worry about me. I'm fine. He released her arm.
Okay.
Whatever you say. He shrugged.
What the hell should I tell Mize?
Tell him the truth. Tell him I took off. Tell him you don't know where I am. She brushed past him and went into their room, the door hanging open by one hinge. She glanced at the floor where she'd fallen, then to the bed where Danny had been. It had happened so fast. She hadn't even had a chance to offer a warning to Danny. Hadn't had a chance to call out before he'd hit her. She touched her cheek now, feeling it starting to swell under her eye. The whole situation. Damn, it could have been so much worse. He could have killed Danny right then, if he'd wanted to. But that wasn't his game. Not yet. He apparently wanted to play with her before he killed her. She pushed her thoughts away and went about collecting their things. Neither of them had unpacked. Perhaps unconsciously, with their recent track record, they knew they'd be leaving in a hurry once again. She zipped up her bag and tossed it over her shoulder, then picked up Danny's purse and her clothes bag and left the room without looking back. Reed was talking to Hernandez and the two female detectives from Homicide. He looked over, and she nodded at him before opening the back door to the car. Danny was still sitting there with her arms folded around herself. In her left hand was the locket she always wore.
It broke again. I guess in my tumble.
She wiped at a tear on her face.
My grandmother's. It would have killed me to lose it, she explained.
Harper took it from her fingers and closed her fist around it. I'll keep it. She put it into her jeans pocket. Come sit in the front with me.
Where are we going?
I don't know yet. Chapter 37
You think this is safe?
Danny asked, as soon as the elevator doors closed. As safe as anything we've had so far, she smiled. You said you wanted a 5-star hotel.
Danny nodded. So I did.
She leaned against Harper's shoulder and gave a weary sigh.
And a car chase, and a murder scene.
She looked up at her.
Are you in trouble with Lieutenant Mize?
No doubt.
Will they find us here?
Eventually, yes. I chose this area because there are 6 hotels within walking distance.
They'll find the car.
I doubt they'll find it in this area. I left the keys in it.
Danny's eyes widened. You think someone will steal an unmarked police car?
Yeah, Windows are down, the keys are in the ignition, and it's in a dark alley. I would imagine it would be gone by midnight.
You're pretty sneaky, Scout.
Harper smiled at the nickname Danny sometimes called her, but she said nothing else. She was tired, emotionally. She knew Danny was, too. She didn't think now was the time to voice her fears to Danny. Not now, riding up in an elevator to the 21st floor. When the doors opened, she stepped out first, looking in both directions of the hallway. She motioned for Danny to follow, and she led them down to their room. It was large, plush, and so different than the tiny, dirty motel they'd been in.
"Very nice," Danny said. "Thank you."
Harper dropped her bag on the floor. "You want to shower?"
"Yes, actually, I'd love a soak in the tub."
"You sore?"
"A little."
"Then..."
"Yes, a lot."
Harper nodded. "How about you let me shower first, then you can have the bath. Take as long as you like."
"Okay, thank you."
Harper took longer than she intended in the shower, but the warm water felt too good on her skin. She knew Danny was waiting, though, so she finally made herself get out. While robes weren't normally her thing, she couldn't resist the thick, soft one she found. Walking barefoot out to the main room, she found Danny sitting in one of the chairs, her eyes closed. She opened them, her gaze drifting slowly over the robe. Their eyes met for a second, and Harper felt the energy between them. She looked away quickly, trying to ignore the heat she felt.
"All yours,"
she said as lightly as she could. "Take your time." Danny didn't say anything as she walked past her, and Harper turned, following her progress until Danny closed the bathroom door. She stared at the door long after it was closed, then turned away, heading to the minibar, to see what overpriced treats it held. She contemplated room service and a bottle of wine, but she wanted something stronger than that. A tiny bottle caught her eye. Scotch. She ignored the price as she snatched it up. She twisted off the cap and took a sip, savoring the taste before swallowing. It seemed to clear her head somewhat and ease the throbbing ache in her cheek. She gathered her dirty clothes, then remembered the locket she'd taken from Danny. She pulled it out of the pocket of her jeans and held it in her hand. The engraving on the back was faded. "My love." She felt a lump form in her throat. She and Jan had those same words engraved on the rings they'd exchanged. She folded her hand up, hiding the locket from her gaze. Jan's ring was buried with her. Harper's ring. She'd ripped it off in a fit of fury and tears one night when Jan's ghost had been sharing a bottle of whiskey with her. After a few seconds, she opened her palm again. She wondered if Danny kept a photo inside, and thought briefly of opening it to see, but decided she wouldn't invade her privacy. Instead, she laid it carefully on the dresser. Obviously, it was something Danny cherished. She turned the lights out, leaving on only the lamp. Then she took the tiny bottle of scotch and sat down in the comfy, oversized chair. She stretched her legs out with a tired sigh. She should be formulating some sort of plan. She should be doing something, but she was too drained to contemplate anything. She hadn't told Danny, but she'd turned her phone to vibrate. It had buzzed in her pocket more times than she could count. A quick glance had told her Mize and Reed had tried to reach her, both leaving messages. She hadn't bothered listening to either. She turned her phone off and pulled out the SIM card, just to be safe. The first thing they would do to find her was track her phone. She didn't need to listen to the messages anyway. Mize would be threatening her, demanding to know where she was, demanding that she come in. Reed would be issuing a warning about Mize and his anger. And she simply didn't care. She closed her eyes, trying to clear her mind of thoughts of Mize and Reed. And the stalker. The stalker who had managed to snatch Danny up in a matter of seconds. Harper hadn't been prepared. She'd let her guard down. And Danny? Danny had thrown herself out of a moving vehicle to avoid capture. How much courage had that taken? She was damn lucky she wasn't hurt. Or worse. She opened her eyes when she heard the bathroom door. Danny stood there, her hair damp and tucked behind her ears. Like Harper, she was wearing a matching white robe. She looked so young, so innocent, vulnerable. Her face was fresh and clean, no makeup to mar her natural beauty. The sight of her simply left Harper breathless. As their eyes held, Harper could see the sadness in Danny's, the remnants of tears. What was making her sad? Was it the stalker? The events of the day? The week? Or was it something else? Was it her lonely life? Her only brushes with intimacy were stolen moments with a roommate in college, and again, stolen moments with a married woman. Two affairs that were physical, never emotional. Had anyone ever truly made love to Danny? The answer to that question was hidden in Danny's eyes, hidden in plain sight, and it nearly broke Harper's heart to see it. She didn't think about Jan, not for one second, as she stood and walked slowly toward Danny. Their eyes were locked together as Harper stood in front of her. She reached out to gently touch the scrape on Danny's cheek, feeling the slight swelling beneath her fingers. She moved her hand lower, along the front of the robe. She could see Danny's pulse throbbing in her neck. She could sense her uneven breathing, could almost hear Danny's thundering heartbeat. Or was that her own she was hearing? It didn't matter which. Like the matching bruises on their cheeks, their hearts were beating the same tune. She opened Danny's robe, thankful there were no undergarments covering her. Her breasts were full, her nipples erect, but Harper paused when she would have reached out to touch them. She looked back up, making sure this was what Danny wanted. She was shocked to see tears in her eyes. "I'm sorry," she whispered immediately, moving to close Danny's robe again, but Danny stopped her. "I need you," Danny whispered back to her. "Now, I need to be loved," Harper finished for her. She wiped a tear at the corner of Danny's eye. "Please, don't cry." Danny nodded bravely as another tear escaped, and Harper caught that one as well. Then she leaned closer, brushing her lips against Danny's so softly. She barely felt them. It was enough, though, to make Danny suck in a quick breath, enough for Danny to reach out to her, drawing her back to her mouth. Incredibly soft lips met her own, and Harper felt a tremor course through her body at the contact. It was only then that she thought of Jan, a twinge of guilt surfacing. But she pushed the ghost away, not wanting to spoil the moment. Danny needed her now. Jan did not. Gentle hands brushed her skin as they parted her robe, and Harper sucked in a breath at the contact. Danny wasn't the only one who had been without love. Intimacy. She had too. She deepened the kiss, pulling Danny closer to her, their opened robes no longer a barrier. Danny moaned against her mouth as their breasts touched, the sound causing Harper to utter her own quiet moan. She didn't hesitate any longer. She pushed Danny's robe from her shoulders, letting it fall to the floor. Danny's chest rose and fell with each deep breath she took, and Harper would have sworn that she saw her trembling under her stare. She wanted to say what was foremost in her mind, how utterly beautiful Danny was. But she kept the words inside. How often must Danny have heard them in the past? Yes, but how often had she heard them from a lover? She touched Danny's face, her fingertips gently grazing her skin. Danny's eyes slipped closed, her face relaxing as Harper's fingers traced her lips, then her chin, moving slowly down her neck. She paused only slightly before touching her breasts. Danny's breath caught, and her eyes fluttered open. Harper held her gaze as she brushed her nipples, seeing Danny's blue eyes darken, hearing her own quickened breath. The words she'd wanted to keep in slipped out. "You're so beautiful." Danny's expression didn't change, and Harper wished she had not spoken. She leaned closer, kissing gently on the bruise on Danny's cheek. "I'm sorry,"
Danny took her hand and brought it back to her breast.
Make love to me.
Her voice was hoarse, with unshed tears. Yes. The sheets were cool against her skin as she drew Danny down to her. Harper didn't understand Danny's tears, the tears that fell gently from her eyes. Harper rolled them over, kissing the tears away as they fell. It's okay, she whispered. Everything's okay. Danny couldn't explain her tears. Not to Harper, not to herself. Her emotions felt raw, exposed. She'd cried in the tub, unable to stop them then. She'd felt so alone, and all she'd wanted was for someone, Harper, to hold her. She'd gotten herself under control by the time she'd stepped from the tub. But then there Harper was, looking at her like she cared. Like Danny mattered to her. Like Danny was the most important thing in her life. Everything's okay, Harper whispered against her lips. Yes, at that moment, everything was okay. She closed her mind to her doubts, her fears. Harper was here. Harper would make everything okay. Harper would take her away from it all, if only for a few hours. She gave in to her kisses, opening her mouth, allowing their tongues to play together finally. It had been forever since anyone had touched her like this. She arched against Harper, feeling her weight press down on her. Moans mingled in the quiet room, and soon the world faded away. It was only them. No past. No stalker. No future. Just them, in that moment. Touching. Kissing. She opened her thighs, inviting Harper inside. Chapter 38. Harper smiled as Danny teased her nipple, again and again, her long blonde hair brushing against her skin with each pass of her lips. She was exhausted, and her eyes remained closed, but her body still responded to Danny's touch. They'd slept fitfully, in and out of sleep, interrupted by touches that grew bolder, more familiar, more demanding as the night wore on. She'd found Danny to be a passionate lover, as interested in Harper's pleasure as in her own. Harper had given in to her each time, surprised at how easily Danny could bring her to orgasm. She hadn't been riddled with guilt. She hadn't dwelled on it. She simply gave what Danny wanted, needed, and took what Danny offered her. There had been no words spoken between them. What was there to say? Neither knew what tomorrow would bring, or the day after that. She would have plenty of time to reflect on it all when Danny left and went back to L.A. Her hips jerked now, as Danny's mouth kissed its way down past her stomach. As she had the first time, Harper moaned in anticipation, her eyes still closed as Danny spread her thighs. She rose up, meeting Danny's mouth as she buried herself in Harper's wetness once again. Danny moaned when Harper entered her. Long fingers curled inside of her, stroking her slowly, sensuously, taking her time. Danny's hips rolled with each stroke, and she pulled Harper down to her mouth, kissing her fervently as the rhythm of Harper's fingers accelerated, little by little, until the cadence was such that Danny found her hips slamming into Harper, urging her on. Harper pulled her mouth from Danny's, their breaths coming in quick gasps. Danny stared into her eyes, wondering how many times they'd made love, wondering how much time they had before dawn. Dawn would signal a new day, an end to these stolen moments. As if reading her mind, Harper slowed. She lowered her mouth again, kissing Danny thoroughly before moving to her breasts. She captured a nipple between her lips, her fingers delving deeper inside, faster again. Teeth raked against her nipple. Then Harper's tongue swirled rapidly against the rigid peak. Danny's eyes slammed closed as she arched her hips high, opening herself to Harper. She felt her nipple being sucked into Harper's mouth, and her world came to a stop for a breathless moment. Then all her senses seemed to explode at once, bursting around her. Harper's mouth caught her scream, and she squeezed her thighs tight around Harper's hand, holding her inside until the tremors subsided. Harper gathered her close and pulled the sheet over them. Danny snuggled against her, once again wondering how much time they had until dawn. She felt herself falling into a deep sleep, even as her hand moved between Harper's thighs, resting in her wetness. Harper blinked several times, seeing daylight sneaking in behind the curtains. She closed her eyes again, ignoring it. Danny was sleeping beside her, nearly on top of her, and Harper pulled her closer. What a night it had been. What a morning. It was as if neither of them could get enough of each other's touch. Even now, as exhausted as she was, Harper wanted to wake Danny, wanted to make love just one more time before real life reared its head. Where had this insatiable appetite come from? 3 years of self-induced celibacy? 3 years of letting her guilt run her personal life? She opened her eyes again. And just where was her guilt now? Where was Jan? Harper opened her eyes, waiting for the inevitable fingers of guilt to claw their way into her heart again. She was holding another woman, a very naked woman, in her arms, a woman she'd made love to more times than she could count. Where was the guilt? Where was the disappointment in herself? Where was the shame? In the darkness of night, had she pushed it all away? Danny shifted in her arms, rolling onto her back, the sheet slipping down to her waist. Harper's gaze traveled over her breasts, remembering how sensitive they were, remembering how soft, how responsive, remembering how they tasted. She turned away from the sight, waiting on the guilt of daylight to descend upon her. It never did. "Are you still sore?" she asked Danny. Danny's eyes never opened, but her mouth lifted in a smile. "In more ways than one." Harper smiled too, and it occurred to her that those were the first words spoken between them since before. She didn't know what she was supposed to say, if anything. Danny surprised her by breaking the ice first. "Are you beating yourself up?" "I keep waiting on the guilt to hit me," she said honestly. "But no." Danny rolled to her side, facing Harper. "I feel like we should talk, but I don't know what to say."
"I know. Me either."
"Harper, I needed you. I needed that. I hope that you're not sorry."
"No. It was a perfect night," Harper said, again waiting on guilt to strike. "It was perfect, yes. Was that saying that things with Jan, in bed, weren't perfect?" "No. Things with Jan, sex with Jan was good. It always had been. Maybe last night, well, they were both riding on emotions. They both needed that, not just Danny. So maybe it was the fact that Harper needed that physical contact, too, that had her reeling." "Do you feel guilty for not feeling guilty?" Harper nodded, wondering how it had come about that Danny could read her so easily. "Honestly, after Jan died, I didn't think I'd ever be able to touch another woman. Or if I did, I assumed Jan would be there with me, that I would be thinking of her." She moved her hand under the cover, touching Danny's hip, before sliding it up to her waist. "It wasn't like that at all." She met Danny's eyes, trying to read them. "It was only you, never her."
"Thank you for telling me that. I was afraid that, well, I thought maybe..."
"No, I knew exactly who I was making love to. She wasn't with me last night."
She sighed and lay back, staring at the ceiling. Did that mean Jan would never be with her again? Had her ghost finally left? "I'm sorry," Danny whispered.
"No, don't be."
She turned her head to look at her.
"Why were you crying?"
Danny blinked several times, and Harper again saw a misting of tears there.
I felt all alone. I felt like I was on an island, and no one was coming for me.
I was right here.
Danny blinked at her tears again.
You were here, but you were still so far away. I needed to be touched and hugged and loved. You'd made it clear that you couldn't be that person for me.
Oh, Danny, I'm sorry. That was my guilt talking. That was how I thought I should feel.
She stared back at the ceiling, trying to reconcile her feelings now. Despite her telling Danny that she had nothing to offer her, that she felt empty inside, was that truly the case? Danny had awakened feelings inside of her that she thought were long dead, feelings that she didn't think she'd ever have again, feelings that she thought Jan had taken with her to the grave. She looked back at Danny again.
I was attracted to you from the start.
Danny smiled and wiped at a tear on her face.
I was attracted to you just from looking at your picture. The real thing proved to be even better.
Harper smiled too, then sobered. I almost got you killed.
Danny shook her head.
We felt safe there. Neither of us was prepared.
I was terrified that I wasn't going to be able to keep up with him. I was afraid I'd lose him in traffic. Then I'd never find you.
I didn't know if you were following. He was driving erratically, so I hoped you were. But the last thing I remembered was him hitting you, you falling to the floor.
Danny touched the bruise on her cheek.
I knew if I didn't get away from him, then he'd kill me. I knew that.
So you threw yourself out of the car?
Harper took her hand. I saw it happen, but I wasn't sure it was you. I wasn't sure, but I stopped. Something told me to stop.
Maybe there was a guardian angel watching over us,
Danny whispered. It was Harper's turn to try to blink away tears.
Could that be? Could Jan have somehow...
No, she didn't believe in that sort of thing.
Did she?
Chapter 39 Danny held the broken clasp in her hand, thinking back to when she'd had it repaired, 2 months ago. The jeweler had told her to replace the clasp then, but she'd asked him to fix it instead. She'd wanted the locket, the gold chain, the clasp, all of it, to remain intact, just as her grandmother had worn it all those years. Nothing else appeared to be damaged, at least.
You said that was your grandmother's?
Danny turned, finding Harper standing behind her, her hair still damp from her shower. She didn't know what liberties she could take now that they'd slept together. She would take as much as Harper would allow, she supposed, because yes, last night had been perfect, so different than the affair she'd had with Tara, and certainly different than the fumbling teenagers she and Tracy had been. When she dared to dream about having a lover she didn't have to hide, those dreams were never as vivid as what she'd experienced with Harper. She hesitated going to her, though. It was now the light of day. They were no longer in bed, naked, touching. Harper tilted her head, studying her. Could she read her mind? Did Harper sense her uncertainty? She must have. She leaned closer, touching her lips lightly, then lingering there, enough for Danny to feel the heat spring up between them again. What liberties could she take? She opened Harper's robe, finding her naked, as she'd hoped. Their kiss deepened, and Danny felt herself being pulled closer, her clothed body pressing against Harper's naked one. She wanted to rip her own clothes off. She wanted to pull Harper back into bed. She wanted to turn the lights out and pretend it was still the wee hours of the morning, pretend that they had all the time in the world. But they didn't. They had a stalker. Still, Harper was the one to end the heated kiss, the one to take a step back. Not her. Harper tightened the robe again, cleared her throat, and repeated her question.
So, your grandmother's?
Danny nodded, only then realizing she still had the heart-shaped locket in her hand. She looked at it. The shiny surface worn smooth by years and years of being touched, of being rubbed between fingers. The inscription on the back was all but worn away. My love. She never had a wedding ring, or an engagement ring, for that matter. She smiled, remembering the story her grandmother had told her many times. They eloped, drove all the way to Vegas to get married. They couldn't afford rings, so he got this for her. She never took it off, not even after he died. She looked at Harper. So when she gave it to me, when she took it off and gave it to me, well, I guess I should have known something was wrong.
I'm sorry.
Danny nodded. I was always closer to her than to my parents. It's hard to believe that my mother was raised by her. My mother was so completely different than she was. She held up the pendant. It broke a few months ago. I asked him to fix the clasp instead of replacing it. I guess that was a mistake. It would have killed me if I'd have lost it. She squeezed her hand around it. This locket means more to me than anything. Harper was staring at her, her eyebrows drawn together. And you never take it off, she murmured, almost to herself. Danny opened her hand, looking at the locket. No. Why?
All I have to do is follow your heart, Harper said.
The note, he left, all he has to do is follow your heart. Danny's eyes widened. Oh, my God, you don't think... How did it break the first time? Danny shook her head. I don't know, really. I was at my house. The detective was there, I remember. It just fell off.
Okay, let's start at the beginning.
Harper guided her into the chair, then sat down next to her. Your stalker was already in the picture when it broke? Yes. Danny held up her hand. And no offense, because I love you in the robe, and you know, you're naked and everything, but if you want to have a serious conversation with me, you should probably put some clothes on. Harper came out of the bathroom, fully clothed, her mind reeling with questions. Could it really have been the locket all along? But they'd scanned it. They'd scanned everything. You're frowning.
I know. She held her hand out. Let me see it.
Danny handed over the locket, and Harper tried to pry it open.
Is it usually this hard?
No, but then I rarely open it. There's not much left of the picture inside. Harper finally got it to open, and she spread the heart apart, revealing an old, faded picture. It was so old and frayed, she couldn't make out the image.
Your grandmother? She guessed.
Yes, her wedding day. Harper went over to the desk, and using a pen, pushed the picture out of the locket. Behind it was a tiny square of blue, not much bigger than a piece of glitter. Oh, my God, Danny whispered. Is that something?
I imagine so.
She put the locket down, leaving the tracking device inside.
Okay. It broke. You did what? Took it somewhere to get it fixed?
Yes. I would normally have sent Shelley, but, well, honestly, I didn't trust her with a locket. It was all I could do to leave it to be repaired. It's that precious to me.
How long was it out of your possession?
Not long. I think 3 or 4 days.
Harper paced alongside the bed. How did your stalker get a hold of your locket?
She stopped pacing. He's watching your house. He sees you go to the jeweler. You take something in. How does he know what it is? How would he get access to it? Danny shook her head. I don't know. And if that thing is a tracking device, the scans should have picked it up. She paused. Of course, it could be an on-demand type of device.
Meaning?
Meaning it only transmits a signal when it's asked to. He could have left it dormant any time he knew you were in the station with me. There was no need to track you. He knew where you were. He probably assumed we were scanning everything.
What do you want to do?
First things first. Let's call your jeweler. I'm assuming he'll remember you. Danny flashed a smile. I would hope so. He took a picture with me. He was going to hang it on his wall. It was barely 10:30. 8:30 in L.A. Would the jeweler even be at his shop yet? Instead of turning her phone on and using her cell, Harper had Danny use the room's phone. Until she had some more information, she wasn't quite ready for Lieutenant Mize to find them yet. She did think briefly of calling Reed, though. Now that she knew how he was tracking Danny, she thought they could use that to their advantage.
"Hi, Mr. Chandler. It's Danielle Stevens."
Danny nodded.
"Yes, I'm fine, thank you. I'm actually calling about the locket, the clasp, that I had you fix."
A pause.
No, it's fine. Well, actually, it broke again, but that's not why I'm calling."
She held her hand up, as if speaking to him in person. "I'm not in the area right now, no." She looked at Harper and rolled her eyes.
"Of course, as soon as I can. Now, about the locket, you remember when I left it with you? Did anyone come in, asking about it? Did anyone ask to see it or anything?"
Harper watched as Danny's brow furrowed in a frown.
"A cop? Really?"
Danny met her gaze.
"A detective? Was it Detective Zapalak?"
Danny nodded quickly.
"I see. No, everything's fine. Yes, as soon as I'm in the area, I'll come by."
Danny nodded again.
"Thank you."
She put the phone down, then stood up and backed away from it, as if it was threatening her.
"Who is Detective Zapalak?"
Danny wrapped her arms around herself.
He was the detective assigned to my stalker."
She met Harper's gaze again.
"You don't think he's the stalker, do you?"
"He's the one who didn't believe you?"
"Yes."
"And did he know about your security camera?"
"Yes."
Harper shook her head.
"I don't know, Danny. If he's your stalker, what are the chances that he's going to be assigned to your case?"
Danny's eyes widened.
"What if he wasn't assigned to me?"
"What do you mean?"
"I mean, I called the police several times. Uniformed officers always showed up. Then one day, I get a knock on my door. He's there. What if he wasn't assigned? What if he did it on his own?"
"You're thinking he pretended he was working your case?"
Harper shrugged.
"I guess. Why would you have cause to doubt him?"
"Exactly. After that, I always called him whenever something was left. He always came out by himself."
Danny leaned her head back and stared at the ceiling.
"Oh, God. I can't believe it."
"Look, let's don't assume all of this. We know our stalker is here. Let's call LAPD and check. If he's there, then he can't be your stalker."
"It's him," Danny insisted. "In the car last night, there was something familiar about him. He only said one word to me. Gotcha."
She shook her head.
"But if it's him, why go to all this trouble? He had me in L.A. I let him into my house, for God's sake."
"Remember, it's a game to him, that's all."
"He's much more than a stalker, isn't he?"
"Yes, he could be a serial killer, for all we know."
"God, Harper, you're not helping ease my fears here."
"Sorry, but you know what I mean. You're a celebrity. Celebrities get stalkers. Perfect cover for him."
She held her hand up.
"Again, let's don't jump to conclusions. Let me call LAPD.
Chapter 40.
"A cop? You can't be serious."
Reed looked between her and Danny and shook his head.
"He pretended to be a cop?"
"A detective, to be more precise," Harper said. Reed looked at Danny.
"What did he do?"
"When I first suspected someone had been in my house, pictures moved, books out of place, I called the police. When I had flowers left inside for me, I called the police. Uniformed officers always showed up, took my statement, suggested I get a security camera, a bodyguard, that sort of thing. Then one day, this detective knocked on my door. He had a badge, he had a card, it looked official."
Danny tucked her hair behind her ears in a nervous gesture.
"He told me he was taking over the case, and that I should call him from now on if anything happened."
Danny looked at her.
"The first time I called him was when a doll was left in the kitchen during the night. I was totally freaking out, and I called him. He came right away. But it was always the same. No evidence, nothing on the security camera. I got the impression that he didn't believe me."
She shook her head.
"How funny that must have been to him, huh?"
I called LAPD, Harper said to Reed. Verified that they have no Detective Zapalak, and they've never assigned anyone to Danielle Stevens.
What about the jeweler? Maybe they've got him on a security camera. We should check. We need to get Mize involved.
No. If we go in, then they'll take Danny away. I'll be removed from the case. LAPD will get involved. The FBI will get involved.
Hell, Harper, you'll be lucky to still have a job. You know, you're looking at a suspension. I'm telling you, he was pissed. They found your car in 5 points. It was stripped so bad, the dash wasn't even in one piece.
I don't care about that right now.
Reed looked at Danny. What do you want to do?
I stay with Harper, Danny said firmly. I don't trust anyone else.
Reed sighed and shook his head. You're right, Harper. As soon as you go in, they're taking your service weapon and shield and putting you on paid leave. They'll whisk Danny away. And yeah, they'll get LAPD involved, the FBI too. We'll be out of the loop.
That's not going to happen. Not until we get this bastard.
Reed met her gaze.
What do you want me to do, Harper?
Be my backup. He stared at her for a long moment, then let out a deep breath.
Sure. We might as well both be suspended at the same time, right?
She reached across the table and squeezed his hand.
Thank you. And I'm assuming they're running a trace on my phone.
They are.
So as soon as I put the SIM card back in, they'll get me.
They will.
So when we really need the troops, I'll do that. Until then, it's you and me.
He nodded.
So? There's a plan?
She stood up.
Working on it.
Working on it?
You said before that this guy was a professional. I think he is. He's done this before. Sorrel wasn't his first kill.
And you think you can take him down?
She and Danny exchanged glances, and Harper nodded.
I've got to.
Okay, Harper. I'll go with you on this, but I don't like it.
Fair enough.
He nodded, then turned a circle, looking around the room.
Nice place. What did this set you back?
Harper smiled.
Don't have a clue. I let Danielle Stevens pay for it.
Reed laughed, then opened the minibar, snooping inside.
I noticed there's a bottle missing.
Yeah, that little bottle probably cost her $50.
Danny smiled at her.
And you didn't even share it with me. His gaze drifted around the room again, finally landing on the unmade bed. The only bed in the room.
He looked at her and raised an eyebrow. She met his gaze, then grinned teasingly. He rolled his eyes.
As if, he mouthed to her.
Harper met Danny's amused expression and gave her a subtle wink.
Chapter 41
This is a stupid idea. It's never going to work.
You've said that. I don't know why. He's following the locket.
You do kind of look cute as a blonde. I'm not crazy about the long hair, though.
Shut up, she said as she adjusted the wig.
Reed laughed. You look like you're in drag.
She turned and glared at him.
Seriously, shut up.
I can't believe you're trusting me with her. You've been kind of possessive with Danielle.
I know, and if anything happens to her, I'll shoot you myself.
If I didn't know better, I'd say you've got a little bit of a crush happening here, Harper.
A crush?
Harper wanted to tell him that what happened last night was way more than a crush, but she wasn't certain Reed could handle that bit of information. Besides, Danny was still Danielle Stevens. What happened between them last night couldn't ever get out.
We've kind of become friends, she said instead.
Look, I saw you last night in the car. I think that was a little more than you being friends.
He shrugged. But hey, you falling for a straight chick, Danielle Stevens, nobody would blame you. Hell, if I was the one guarding her day and night, Jesus, I'd have already made a fool of myself. I mean, that woman is gorgeous. Even after all she's been through, looking at her today, she's like,
I get the picture.
Yeah, and like, you're really sleeping in the same bed?
Really.
Man, I'm so jealous.
They both turned when the bathroom door opened and Danny came out. Harper stared, wondering how in the world she'd managed to get all her hair shoved under the wig. She was wearing Harper's shirt. Harper was wearing one of Danny's blouses. It was a little tight, but she could manage. They'd even gone so far as to have Danny wear Harper's shoes, a half size too large.
"Well, do I look like you?"
Harper shook her head. "No, you're much too pretty to pass for me."
"I'll say," Reed added.
Harper pointed at her wig.
"How did you hide all your hair?"
"Pin curls and a wig cap." Danny tugged at the wig.
"How bad does it look?"
"It looks great. Not that I think you should keep that style or color. I kinda like..." She stopped, nearly forgetting Reed was there.
"Yeah, I'm not crazy about you in that look either," Danny said, not trying to hide her smile.
Reed looked between them, obviously confused by their familiarity. Harper finally cleared her throat.
"So, are we ready?"
Reed held up his hand.
"Let me just go on record as saying..."
Yeah, stupid idea. You got a better one?"
"I'm sure Lieutenant Mize would have a better one."
Harper shook her head.
"No. We do this. We get it over with. And we'll probably both lose our jobs."
"So you keep saying." She had to admit, it was risky. How far were they willing to go? Into New Mexico? Arizona? All the way to California?
"We should at least fill Mize in," he continued, harping on his earlier suggestion.
"The answer is still no. Now, let's go over it again."
"Risky plan," Reed mumbled. "We'll never pull it off."
She ignored him.
"Got your burner phone?"
They both nodded. "I go to the front desk. You follow behind. Danny, keep Reed between you and the doors. The rental car will be out front, waiting. We'll go outside together. Again, Danny, make sure Reed is a buffer. Turn your head. Don't give him a clear view of you."
"Provided he's even watching," Reed said.
"He's watching. Biding his time, but he's watching. We'll say our goodbyes, a handshake. I get in the rental and drive away. You go in the opposite direction. Ditch the patrol car. Hop in the second rental. Meet up with you north of Fort Worth. We should know by the time we get to Decatur whether he's tailing me or not."
"You check into a motel in Wichita Falls," Danny added, "alone, and hope he comes knocking."
Reed shook his head.
"Crazy plan. If he's as good as we think, he's going to recognize us tailing you, too."
"I think our guy is so focused on Danielle Stevens that he's not going to see anything. He had her. She got away. I imagine he's filled with rage at this point. Her escaping wasn't part of his game."
"Then why didn't he try something last night?"
"We're in a fancy hotel, with security, 21 floors up. I know he went into her hotel room that first day, but that was different. It's one thing to pretend to be delivering room service to an empty room. Quite different when that room is occupied. Even if he did get in and disable me, he still got to get her down 21 floors. He's obsessed with her, but he's not crazy."
"And you think he'll feel safe enough, trying something in a little two-story motel in Wichita Falls?"
"Yes. He'll think she's alone. Game over." Reed still shook his head.
"I don't think you can pull this off. You look nothing like Danielle Stevens."
"It's dark. When we get to Wichita Falls, it'll be almost midnight. The only thing he'll see of me is blonde hair. Remember, he's following the locket."
"Look, I hate to be the cynic here, but you don't know for sure that the thing you found in the locket is a tracking device."
"What else would it be?" Harper threw her hands up. "Reed, if you want to back out, tell me now. I'll think of something else. Hell, Danny and I can go alone. Let him think I'm escorting her back to L.A.
Reed met her gaze. "I just think this is a bad idea, that's all. We've gone to so much trouble to hide her. Why would we let her sneak out of town in the dead of night?"
Reed paced between her and Danny.
"Harper, think this through logically, okay? For one thing, he's killed a cop. You have no business going after him alone. And two, you're a Dallas cop, a rogue Dallas cop, in Wichita Falls. Everything about this is wrong.
It was the only idea that made sense.